This is Film Center, your number one show for real entertainment industry news. No fluff, all facts. Now, here are your anchors, Derek Johnson II and Nicholas Killian.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Film Center. I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And what are we talking about today?
Today we are going to do part two of our last episode.
Yes. Now, as you guys know, this is usually your number one place for studio news, but it is not today.
Not today.
And not last time either. Which is why I did not have it in the intro. I was like, yeah, that's not really studio news today. Or a little studio news, maybe at the end if we have time. Because me and Nicholas, we just had an interesting experience. But this part two, we're actually just solely focusing on casting. For the most part, about casting.
Yeah, casting.
So if you guys missed our last one, it was a pre-production.
Right.
Go ahead, go check it out. And Nicholas, where would you say, because Nicholas has more acting experience than I do. Nicholas, from the actor's perspective, what is it usually like to audition when you're like a known nobody? Because you've been there. You've been to the side where people don't know who you are. You've been to the side where people who do know who you are. And you've risen up the ranks a little bit before you started to go to producing.
Yeah.
So you've been in a show before as a main character and all this good stuff. So what is it like to audition when people don't really know who you are?
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's people treat you like cattle, like a number, like nobody.
Mm. Do you have any suggestions for our audience out there for booking those first few roles to get the ball started? Get the ball rolling, excuse me.
Use that to your advantage.
Can you elaborate?
Okay, so I'll give you an example, right? So we do consulting for podcasting, right? We help people
that is something we do.
Launch their podcast. We help people grow their podcast, right?
Yes, we do.
The number one superpower that you have as a nothing nobody podcast is that nobody is listening.
So you use the same thing with acting?
Which is nobody is listening.
Right.
So you can be as terrible as you want to, and then get your skills up. Same thing as an actor. Mm. Whenever you are nobody. When you're first starting out, it really doesn't matter that you're terrible as an actor. It doesn't matter. All of that does not matter. That is what should empower you. You shouldn't be nervous. You shouldn't, whatever it is you feel, because it doesn't matter.
So
that's what should give you all the confidence in the world.
Because it does, like, because you're just starting out. Right. No one starts off perfect.
And the thing is, what a lot of people, I think, the audition starts when you wake up.
I don't get it. What does that mean?
Okay, so.
So, and also for everyone's clarification, I personally did mostly theater acting. I haven't really been in too many films. He has more experience in television and movie acting than I do.
One of the things is, I've done both, right? But one of the things is in theater, is in film and TV acting that less is more, right? But what I was saying is the audition, so you have a big audition or you have one audition or you have multiple auditions that you got to drive around town for.
Well, a lot of them are not. When we were doing stuff, you had to drive around town for it. You still might too have
you could,
to sometimes.
You could do EcoCast now, but
the
point is that the audition starts when you wake up. It starts as you're driving to the audition. It starts in the parking lot. It does not start when
you're thinking about it.
Right. When you walk through that door. Right. And the most important thing is that the audition is not finished the moment the audition is finished. The audition is finished when you walk out of the building.
And sometimes a little bit after that, just in case they contact you for callbacks and stuff like that.
One of the things you should also do is
You say it's also like a numbers game too?
Oh yeah, no, of course. It's definitely a numbers game, but one of the things that you should do is, first of all, understand the casting director wants you to be the person for the role more than you want to be casted for the role.
So we're going to flip now a little bit and then talk about what's like from our perspective, people are casting. As you guys know, we work on a lot of different shows and stuff like that. And we've currently done some casting just recently. And we've done a casting a bunch of different times. But this time, was, I would say, more special. At least it was to me personally, because we had a more physical casting than we usually do. Usually, it's just looking for that person who clicks. as that character or someone who could just really nail it, nail the scene, excuse me, and take direction. But in this case, for us specifically, for this show, we're also having to cast people who can fight.
Right.
And these are not like people in the background or in the, we don't, and it's not like, oh, we'll just give them time to train. No, you need to be just already be a fighter to do right. this job.
And give you...
And this is like, these are like the leads.
Right. And then also be able to take direction. Take direction
looking
in
for
the
those
moment.
Triple threats. Oh, I can take direction. And I'm a great actor or actress. And I can fight. And I also look the part. So I guess that's what quadruple. So what were you saying then about this is true? Go ahead and tell them what it's like from the casting director's perspective.
This is the first time I have been majorly involved in the casting. And
as a producer, he just hires other people to do it.
I usually just hire other people. But it's absolutely game-changing being on the other side.
Because we realize, you've probably heard it before, but you realize even more now, the casting director wants you to succeed.
It's not a more than anybody else in the room, because not only does it make them look like they know how to do their job,
and allows them to keep their job by finding
the right
person,
and allows them to keep their job and let people know that I'm actually competent at this job, because a lot of them aren't.
Yeah, I always say this: if you get a callback, it means you're doing something correctly. I always equate it to, like, there's a whole bunch of people who can audition for stuff, and like when you're, especially when it's like in, so those of you who are applying on, who apply on Actress Access casting networks, there's a couple other different ones, Backstage, or if you're being sent to us from someone like CAA,
right,
some representation is giving it to someone on the production directly, which did happen, and we've casted some people like that,
right,
where an agency will hit us up and be like, hey, we think that this person's right for the role. We know XYZ who's above the line, and they said that we can send this person in. And some of them have been great. So the whole thing is like, though, from the jump, literally everyone wants you to win. I cannot stress that enough, because then if we see someone we like, at least even for callbacks on the first stage of the audition process, which is shifting through thousands and thousands of people, right? Once you see someone, you're like, who's competent? And by competent, A, be able to, at least during your self-tape or at least during the first audition, just be off script, or at least try.
Take the directions in the sides.
So the SAG union has made it, I think it's some rule now. Oh, you can't judge them based off of whether they have memorized their lines or not. SAG made that rule, but SAG isn't the one casting people. And plus, you can say, hey, you're not allowed to judge someone. Yeah, good luck with that.
Okay, SAG, then give me the money.
Exactly.
Give me the money.
Then you cast this person who can't read for some reason or is completely illiterate. Knowing your lines and being able to take simple directions will get you everywhere.
And also, one of the things that I thought was very telling, being so deeply ingrained with the process in this particular TV show, is that you think that you're just a number, but being... throughout this process, that if you audition, if you are just competent, you might have a role in the show.
Yes, yes. There are so many times, including on our show, where we have someone come in to audition for a role, right? And Nick, it happened, right?
We
were like,
switch
hey,
them around.
Switch them around. We'd like, dude, you auditioned for this role. I think that I don't want you for this role, but for this other one, you'd be amazing for. And we've casted people that way. Right. We've had people come in and cast them in other roles that we think they're just dynamite in. So if a casting director or some other director is like, hey, do you mind reading for this other part? It means two things. One of which, they really like you, which means they want to work with you. That already puts you above, like, basically everyone.
Right.
Because it means they want to work with you even though you're not right for the role. That's crazy.
They like who you are. Because that's one of the things about being an actor, is whenever you get rejected, they're not rejecting the role. They're rejecting you as a person.
That's what it feels, at least.
Right. That's at least how it feels. They don't like your rendition of what you brought to the table.
And sometimes it's not even because they don't like it. It's just straight up politics.
Right.
Which, Nicholas, do you want to explain a little bit about acting politics, or do we have 3 hours to do this?
We don't have enough time. We'd have to do 5 episodes on the politics.
If you guys, especially people out there who are actors, writers, any creatives, if you want to know what someone's seeing, so they say politics. Now, most people who listen to the show, they're already professionals. But for those of you who don't and you want to know a little more about Hollywood politics and what the hell that even means.
One example would be that way back in the day before Twilight happened, I was supposed to be in it. And what ended up happening was somebody's son needed a role because politics, right? It's nepotism. It's right. This, that,
that's,
and the that, other.
That's what it is by politics. Oh, okay. This person wasn't supposed to be in this role, but hey, this is my son. Screw this guy. It happens to me. It happens to everybody. Another thing with politics is like, okay, so we actually, not this project, but another project I was casting for, we really liked this one person for this side character role. Thought she'd be great. She was going to rock it. She was going to kill it. She was everyone's number one choice. And we have a few alternates, like two or three alternates. And then we casted the main character after her just because we found, like we said earlier, we want you guys to succeed. We want you to walk in there, wow us. Like, even if you don't think you can do it, we're your biggest cheerleaders, because if we find you and you're the right for the role, our jobs are done. We want these jobs to be done.
You're supposed to treat the audition like it's your first day of work. Not that you're
first day on set, right?
First day on set. Not that you're auditioning for it. You have to walk in there like this is just your first day on set. You've already got the role.
Right. So in this particular case, we casted the side character, then we casted the main character. And these two were going to be in a lot of scenes together, obviously. The issue is that the side character actress that we were choosing originally looked extremely identical to the main character who we casted. And it really came down to, okay, importance of characters. Is it more important that we have the right person for the main character or a side character? Obviously the main character.
Obviously. Right? Right.
So then it was like, we can't even use this other person for this project. And so we put her in our back pocket to possibly ask her to do something else. And she ended up being on this project as one of the lead characters. That's what we mean by politics.
And also there's a thing of like casting somebody where you're choosing between the two, right? And you like this person more, but the other person comes with more resources. You don't like them as much, but they are still good for the role, but they come with more resources and more politics on their side.
Resources shows the unfairness of the world in which you can hire someone because people know this. Oh, okay, like, whoa, this person's an A-lister, so they're probably going to get the role over me because they're going to bring in a lot of people, and investors like to invest in people they know or are popular. And
right.
It's why studios will allow influencers to be in movies without even seeing that they can act or not.
Because they can't.
Most of them.
They cannot. They literally cannot.
Then, but also with resources, could also be marketing. There are some people who come in, and because they're quote-unquote industry plants, they come with a whole huge marketing team ready to give you money and blow up whatever project that you're working on. They make it huge. But then again, it depends on whether that works for you in that situation. Nicholas and I have turned such agreements down, mainly because it's, okay, if we took this deal, the project itself would be terrible. And yeah, it would get made, but then we would be known for making something super terrible comparative to, okay, if we choose this other person, it's not going to get as big at first, but we're relying on the quality.
And one thing people might not understand, because I certainly didn't understand it when I first got in the business, is that I think people forget that this business and business in general is about making money. It's not about making movies.
The reason why a whole bunch of rich people are at the top is because they don't have to worry about making money. That's right. Why they can do whatever.
But the movies,
most people cannot do that.
The movies are about making money.
Yeah.
And also, the studios do not care if they're bad movies or not, as long as they make money. And
as long as it strokes their ego.
Right. But also, they keep making movies so that their name stays out there.
And stays relevant.
And
correct.
Stays relevant. And they get more opportunities. And they get more names and get more chances to keep their name out there, regardless of the quality of movies.
That's what we mean by politics. That took a little turn, didn't it?
Yeah.
But, and there's more about that. And if you guys want to hear us talk more about it, send us a suggestion. But one of the things I always tell a lot of people, like directing, and I have many people I bring in for callbacks, take that callback as if you're about to steal the show. I cannot tell you the amount of times I've had people. So I've looked at all the auditions. First of all, if you're literate, and don't be, I swear to God, I hate when people do this. We say, hey, this is just the type of person we need. We need a tall black guy for this role. And then a short white woman will apply. Oh, I'll see, I need a...
You're going to change the mind of the creator.
Right. Or I'll say, hey, I need a white guy with dark hair. And maybe I might change it here, maybe I not, but at least like look like him a little bit, or a white guy that's
people will
that's like 5'10" or around that height or something like that. And then you're gonna have some super tall Asian dude apply for it. And you're like, dude, you do not match this description of this character.
A 5'4" white dude that's got red hair, and it's
like, so I need someone to be a bodybuilder. This is the side character role, you need to be a bodybuilder. And then some guy who maybe weighs 90 pounds will show up. I said, come on, man. You got to at least, like, unless you're an A-list star, most directors aren't going to work with you to transform your body into the what you need to be. Racially, if it's a race thing, don't touch it. Just, is my suggestion to you, especially in this current climate, that, you know, unless it doesn't mention the race, then go for it.
Right.
But I cannot tell you how many times that we've had, this is a number one choice, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'd be like, you know what? We'll just throw in this 6th person. Just cause whatever. We need another slot. I need another person in here, and whatever. And that 6th person ends up being the one I cast.
Yeah, the dark horse.
Because that person really puts their all into that callback, and they just, you know, they go up there, and kind of like Nicholas, you said, they act like they already got the role.
One of the things I think that we might be neglecting to say is the difference between the EcoCast auditions and then the in-person auditions. So when we initially were casting off of EcoCast, off of video auditions, we had our list of people that we liked, right? Now, everybody, we don't know how many takes it took. We don't know how long they took. We don't know what they did.
They could have taken up. They could have been their 85th take of that one shot or that one scene and or that one monologue, and that's why it's great. Comparative to what were you about to say?
Comparative to coming into the audition now, and it completely flipped everything on its head. Now we had maybe one or two people that were consistent on EcoCast and in the in-person audition, but for the most part, our top prospects listed
were not
out
our first choice.
Completely flipped it on its head,
and that happens a lot. And that's what you want as a director when you're dealing with casting director. When you're the director of the film, in our case, we're talking about a TV show,
right?
So I'm show running it. It's not really directing. But when you're involved in that casting process, you want to have that really good sixth sense. Don't really think, oh, like the politics part, we talked about that. But when it comes to the straight up casting, there's like a visual that you will get. You'll look at someone and say like, they just said the words the right way or something about that. And whatever that little inkling is in the back of your mind that, hey, like, especially if you have your list of callbacks, you need an extra space, reach out to that sixth sense. It sounds really stupid. Think about who you truly want to be in this role, and then be like, okay, if all of the people I want were gone, who would I think could handle it? Not that they're right, not that they're the best choice for the role, but who could handle it and right. Really take that role? And a lot of times, those sixth sense choices, which have been phenomenal.
One of the things that
the person that Nicholas was referring to, that Nicholas are referring to, as in the certain people who are like, oh, you just see them and you're like, oh, they were consistent with the self-tape and in person. Those are just straight up outliers. And here's the thing that people
can't
don't understand. You can't count on outliers, right? And you can't count yourself as not an outlier. Because here's the thing. Every single person who wants to be an actor or actress is an outlier for some role. There is a role out there that you are perfect for. You just don't know what it is. comparative to, for me, no one would choose me to play a younger Michael Jordan. They'd be like, what? No. But it could be a really good role for, I don't know, Cat Williams' cousin or something. What were you going to say?
We had, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to talk especially about that Sixth Sense, because we had a person that we weren't even going to consider. We didn't like them. They didn't provide a good audition on their self-tape, but something told you we should have this person there, and what happened?
You give me a little bit more of a hint of which person you're talking about?
We were talking about the fact that...
What did this person look like? Because we can't really see.
She was blonde.
Oh, I actually know. I do actually know what you're talking about. This person, what happened was is that she was not our first, second, third, fourth, eighth... Like, literally, we had all of our choices, and we just needed a spot. We need just one more person just to fill out the... Look, we have five people. It's ironic that you say that. I was actually thinking about the same person, because we had five actual people in front of her. Hey, you know what?
Solid choices.
Right. This is my perfect choice. This is my second perfect choice. This is my third... Like, these top three choices, when they saw their self-tapes, indisputable top of the rung. Then four and five, I was like, you know what? They're not as indisputable as the other ones are, but they're still really good. We need another spot, and because we rented out the place for a certain amount of time, and we actually, this is something too that you want to do when you're casting. You want to stick to your own personal rules. For our personal rules, we're going to have X number of choices for each person, mm-hmm. regardless of, so for us, it was six. Mm-hmm. For this level of callbacks, we were like round three or four of auditions anyway.
Right.
So it wasn't like first rounds, but for us, we were like, we need at least six for each person at this stage, each character, excuse me. And really, I was looking through the other ones, and what ticked me off of that Sixth Sense is I was like, if I take the character that I'm imagining, like I'm imagining what this person may look like, and just throw that out of the window, just throw it completely out the window. Don't think about what the character looks like. Think about, instead, could this person have that character's personality? That's where that Sixth Sense comes from. Does this person seem to naturally have the personality that I think that I need? And that's why I was like, you know what? I don't think that she did the scene as well as I wanted her to do it. I didn't think that she looked the part. That was a big thing for us. She didn't really look the part. But my Sixth Sense was like, but her personality is like matching for me. And right. It just seems like she sent in not only one version of, because we had a couple different sides, like three of them. We had like three scenes. She sent in like three of each scene. So it was like, she put a lot of work into it, and she seems like she has that personality. So then when she came in, everyone else came in front of her, right? Because we had them blocked out at different times. And I am so glad that Sixth Sense worked in that instance, because when that sixth person, when this actress, when she started her audition, everyone knew she was the one. And this is crazy, because we already had the one earlier. Our number one choice had come in and dominated like we knew what she was going to do. We're like, okay, cool. Our job is done. We're just going to sit here and just watch everybody else mess up, basically. We're going to just keep comparing them to this first choice. But I kid you not, that number six came in and she wiped the floor with everyone else.
One of the things that she also did, and what needs to be known, is give different variations whenever you're in the audition. If they want you to do it again, that means they like you, but they want to see something different. Don't do the same version that you just did.
They're testing to see if you can take direction. So it's like this. If I'm hiring someone to run my lemonade stand, okay, it's not good enough that they know how to make lemonade. I also want them to not curse at my customers. Right. I want them to, and if I say, hey, be nice, we have to do this, I want to know that you're going to cooperate with me. That's usually what that's about, or maybe someone might have done the scene not in the way someone's imagined it. But at the same time, a lot of times it's A, yeah, we do like you, so we want to see it again, or else we'll be like, all right, cool, thanks.
Exactly.
that once was good, all right, see ya. And usually the second time, it's like, can you take direction, and can we work with you? If I give you some notes, how would you use them? I don't care if the director says, now do it like you were underwater. Come on, bro. That might sound crazy to you, but I'll give it a shot. And that alone is so much. Because a lot of times actors will just give the exact same rendition because they practice the audition so much that they can only perform it that one way.
I want to see if you can take direction. I want to see if you can do exactly what I need you to do. I liked your base version. Now we're building on top of it. And also, one of the things that I would like to, that I thought is super important during casting on the actor side as well, is you do not have as much competition as you think you do.
Oh my gosh.
You do not have as much competition as you think you do.
People don't believe us when we tell them Los Angeles is super small. Because out of the 5 million people that live in this city, there's probably about, I would say, 300,000 that are competent for this industry. There's only about 100,000 that are actually going to have the chops to actually make it in. And then there's only probably about 50,000 that are really worth it. And out of everyone who consistently works in the industry, there's probably something like 2,000.
You do not have as much competition as you think you do. If you understand anything, understand that. I had a prime example of something like that happened to me before I did a TV show. And before the TV show, obviously you're waiting in the wings. Obviously you're waiting for your turn. And the character was a deadpan monotone type person, right? I was next up. I was on deck. And I heard from the door this dude going all wild and crazy and blah, blah, blah.
Didn't you say he had a whole bunch of, disclaimer, I was not there, but I have heard the story before. Didn't you say that he was like dropping his tone, like going crazy with like,
going all over the place. So whenever you hear something like that, you get petrified because you're like, did I not get a side? Did I not?
You think you're missing something or you're going to do it wrong or something.
Was I not prepared?
Mm-hmm.
And I get in there, and then you also say, should I bring that up? So there's a bunch of questions.
And then tell them what you did when you got in there.
So when I got in there, I was just straight up honest with them. I said, hey, listen, because you're not supposed to talk about the person who just auditioned.
Yeah,
right?
Supposed to.
But I was like, I was like, I'm acting like I already got the job. I just heard the guy do that. Did I miss something? Did I not get something? And the funniest look that the director and the casting director gave me was, no. I said, this is how it's written in the side.
That it's deadpan, right.
That it's deadpan monotone type. Is that how you're supposed to play it? They're like, yeah, that's how. I was like, so what is he doing? They were like, we have no idea.
And again, this goes back to being literate. People, if you can read, not only know your lines, but if you could read the lines, you can also read the part that says deadpan. And don't be like, oh, I'm not going to do what's in the script. That is the fastest way to get fired. That is the number one way that we, not only we, but like every casting director that I've known and worked with over the years, the number one thing is, are you going to do what's actually in the script? Do you want to tell them about Too Hype? Is that something we want to get into right now? Let me see how much time it is. Wow. So we're not going to be able to talk about Dune or the D-Box thing, but I'll save D-Box and Dune for next time.
We'll save Dune Box and D-Box for next time.
Nicholas, I'm relying on Nicholas here because I don't even know how to describe.
We had sent out a breakdown for kind of a douchebaggy type person that is just like, he's just real full of himself. If you think if Hype Beast were a person, that's what we needed.
Yes, 100%.
And we had somebody send in an audition, three videos. Mind you,
there are sides that we sent with words on it. It's a scene that he's supposed to do.
Right. And the first one was of him performing his rap performance.
He sent us a camera video, vertical camera video, of him on stage at an empty bar mitzvah rapping a song that was pretty terrible. And as your hand to God, we're telling the truth. We don't know why he did that. We didn't ask for it. We were supposed to be looking for his audition of the scene, and he just sends us this tape. And then there was two other videos. Would you like to describe the
one
other two videos?
One video was really short. I don't think he meant to send it.
Yeah, it was like 2 seconds and 2 or 3 seconds, and basically it was him at a school or something like that, and someone was like, hey, yeah, the camera works. And it was also a vertical. And then the third video was about 5 seconds of the scene. By the way, disclaimer, this scene is about a minute and a half long. He sent us 5 to 10 seconds of him saying one line, just repeatedly. And then that's it. He didn't even do any of the motions. No slate, by the way. Nothing. We didn't know who this person was. We had to, like, look it up.
And we were just like, we don't know if this guy is actually the character or this man is a genius. Because he had us encapsulated the whole casting process. We were like, we gotta see this dude.
There is something to be said about really standing out. Because this person, but he only stood out to us because it's within line of the character.
He was the character.
If he would have done this for one of our more serious characters, I'm like, this guy's an idiot and just passed over him. But because the character we're casting for is like too full of himself douchebag, to submit something like this, where it seems like he's too full of himself on stage rapping.
Was perfect on the mark.
Perfect, right?
We were like, what's better than acting? Somebody who is actually that person.
An actual douchebag. And in fact, we gave him a callback. We were like, this is crazy. Maybe we could do like an actual person. Something that our casting director said was like, hey man, you don't want to hire the person who's actually a crackhead. You want to get the person who's really good at acting like a crackhead. Because you have to work them offset. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we were like, you know what? Let's just bring this person in. Nicholas, do you want to describe what it was like having him for a callback?
So we gave him a callback because I was like, I just want to meet the person. I don't even care about the callback. I don't care about his acting. I want to know why he did this. And we had the callback and he didn't know who we were.
He arrived on time. First of all, excuse me. This is done. He arrived on time to the callback audition and didn't know who we were, what was happening.
Nothing.
In fact, we told him, we were like, hey man, you auditioned for this role. He's like, didn't. I'm like, bro, here now. Why are you here? And I'm like, yes, you did. He goes, no. We had to show him his audition for him to be like, oh, I did audition for this role. We had to prove it to him.
And the only reason why we humored it is it was just so dead on for the character.
But then, in the wise words of our casting director, we had to choose someone who wasn't actually crazy. We actually ran out of time. Nicholas, do you have anything to say? Is any closing thoughts real fast?
Yeah, you do not have as much competition as you think you do.
And remember that the casting directors are your biggest fans. Guys, this has been Film Center. This is part two of our Getting Into the Industry series. There was some series, whatever I'm going to call it. I'm Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And we'll see you later.
See
you.
This has been Film Center on Comic-Con Radio. Check out our previous episodes at filmcenternews.com. Sign up for our newsletter and get the Hollywood trade straight to you. You can follow the show at Film Center News on all major platforms. Tune in next week for a fresh update. Until next time, this has been Film Center.